During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and this is the New World Report. Joseph and I discuss the Americas, and there's much news. There are elections. There are challenges. But there's one particular meeting that is important to emphasize because this is the New World. North, Central, and South America. And we're very pleased to welcome Anthony Fury. Anthony is a columnist for Post Media. He's based in Toronto. He's also the author, most recently, of Pulse Attack, the real story behind the secret weapon that can destroy North America. Anthony, welcome. And the
great
meeting,
to be here, John.
Thank you. The meeting in the Oval Office. I read from the New York Times presentation. President Biden hosted Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada and President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador of Mexico, affectionately known as AMLO. At the White House, a diplomatic mission of three leaders trying to project a united front amid trade scuffles, accusations of American protectionism, and concerns over a surge of migration. How was this event portrayed in the Canadian media? What was the opinion of commentators after this meeting? Good evening to you, Anthony.
Yeah, there were some tensions, John, because Justin Trudeau is someone who's very, shall I say, enthusiastic about climate initiatives. And I've often said he's not so much a prime minister who's interested in climate change, but he's a climate change activist who just happens to be prime minister. So he always likes to see as many endeavors as possible on green initiatives. But the challenge here is in Biden's Build Back Better campaign and the bill that he's putting forward, there's a lot of support for electric vehicles. And I guess you'd know this far better than I would, but I guess he's trying to sell electric vehicles and green vehicles as something that rallies the union movement behind him because he wants Buy American provisions put on all of that. So Justin Trudeau, who normally gives two thumbs up to any green initiative that he hears about, he's a little caught because, of course, this provision might reduce some of the sales for Canadian automakers. So he goes, well, do I stick with my green activist roots or do I say, well, hold on, can we broker something here to save some Canadian sales? So that's the sort of tricky situation Trudeau finds himself in.
Joseph, I come to you about AMLO's presentation in this meeting. Over these last months, we've reported carefully that AMLO looks to be keeping a foot in two camps in the Americas during this election period. The meeting of CELAC gathered leaders or representatives from Cuba, from Venezuela, from Nicaragua, three states that are on the outs with the U.S., with the OAS, with the democracies in the hemisphere. AMLO's inclusion in this meeting, was that seen as a way of integrating him again with the problems of democracy, or was he invited in some fashion as a testing mechanism for the Biden administration? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. Well, AMLO's going to absolutely take part in this meeting because the meeting was dubbed the Three Amigos meeting, so they're trying to sell it as three trade partners, three cooperating governments, three presidents that have ideological sympathies, and AMLO definitely is going to fit in. But that said, once you get past kind of the rhetoric and some of the superficial posturing, and when it gets down to brass tacks is where you're going to start to see differences, and I think AMLO is going to highlight a lot of those differences, not just his support for other authoritarian leaders in Latin America, most notably the dictators of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, but also some of the reforms he's trying to pass within Mexico. For example, one of the areas of contention with the United States, and I imagine with Canada as well, is his energy reform bill. There's something that AMLO is trying to do in Mexico that could potentially nationalize some of the most important natural resources, which includes the mineral sector inside Mexico, under the guise that they are national security, they're vital for national security. So he would call them strategic resources, vital for national security. This would include lithium, and Mexico just discovered one of the biggest lithium deposits in the northern part of the country near the U.S. border. So I think that these are the kind of issues where you're going to find contention with AMLO. I know that the United States has questions about that reform bill, but I'd be curious to see what Canada thinks about it as well, because Canada has a lot of mining operations in Latin America, in Mexico as well. So AMLO kind of, you know, when you get past the superficial greetings, there are some serious issues that need to be discussed, and AMLO is on the opposite end of those issues.
Anthony, I'm interested in the opinion in Canada of Mexico and its natural resources and the concentration of power in AMLO's government, especially about natural resources. Is Mexico seen as a partner with Canadian natural resources, as a competitor? Is the question raised about Mexico and the green initiatives that that Prime Minister Trudeau favors?
Well, that's a really great question, and I think a lot of Canadians aren't talking about it and don't even particularly want to talk about it because of those moral ambiguities that Joseph brings up vis-a-vis authoritarianism and so forth. Because, yes, we do have a lot of energy interests, a lot of activity going on in that part of the world, but Justin Trudeau is someone who never wants to miss an opportunity to sort of virtue signal about authoritarian ideas. He definitely liked to score a lot of points with his more left-wing audience by being as critical of President Trump as he could, but he doesn't seem to want to do that at all when it comes to Latin American politics. He wants to be able to sort of have it all ways, and I think the Canadian government would just probably prefer that there's not even much discussion of those nuances of what's going on down there right now. So while we flatter ourselves as pretty worldly people, a lot of those nuances are actually kept off the radar here in Canada.
Joseph, you have a question for our guest, Anthony.
Yes, Anthony. One of the biggest questions I have is that one of the ways that I think the Biden administration has sold its relationship with Justin Trudeau, juxtaposed with the previous administration's relationship with under President Donald Trump, is that because of the posture and perhaps the rhetoric of the Biden administration, that these two presidents are going to get along much better. Now, I could see that, as I was mentioning with the Mexican president, I could see that at some level rhetorically, even politically. But when it gets down to policy, I see some significant differences on the Biden administration policies on energy, Biden administration's policies on infrastructure that don't necessarily favor Canada. Does the political rhetoric do that much of a difference to help the Canada-U.S. relationship, or at the end of the day, is this all about policy?
No, Joseph, I think you make an excellent point. We had Barack Obama, who did not want to approve the Keystone XL pipeline, and he really sat on the question for years. Donald Trump came into office and said, fine, I've got no problem with this, go ahead. And Canadian energy companies that were investing a whole lot of exploratory funds into these projects, they were excited. And then we found Joe Biden saying, no, I'm going to nix it. And that was one of his first decisions when he got into the White House, to kill a major Canadian energy product. And now we have something similar happening. We've got the Line 5 project happening in the state of Michigan, where the governor has really been campaigning against this, saying it's not environmentally safe, even though it's my understanding that there really haven't been incidents with it. And the company behind it, they say, the Canadian-based company, they say they're willing to pay the freight to do extra diligence to add safety measures to it. But the governor, who's a Democrat and closely connected to President Biden, she's saying, no, it's just not safe. And Biden doesn't seem to be talking her down from all of that. There's a bit of a stalemate right now. So that's definitely, I know, frustrating for Trudeau.
The general story in America right now is that the Biden administration is leaning against fossil fuels and for renewables. Is there the same trend in North America, in Canada right now, Anthony? Does that describe Trudeau's government?
Yeah, Justin Trudeau is very aggressive on these measures. When he was at COP26 the other week, he called for a global carbon tax, which was really upping the ante. You didn't have many extreme statements like that put forward by other leaders. And he called for a hard cap on oil and gas sector emissions here in Canada. So going abroad to basically announce that he would be restricting a major sector in our economy that does a lot to produce our GDP. And that was very frustrating for a lot of people that he did that from abroad. So Trudeau always wants to up the ante from whatever anybody else is doing on those policies.
And Joseph, is it accurate to say that without fossil fuels, the Mexican economy would collapse?
Well, definitely wouldn't be doing well. I don't know if it would say collapse, but you know, Mexico is an export-oriented country. Energy is probably the primary industry. Fossil fuels is a big part of that industry, so I think it's safe to say that they would be in very dire straits if fossil fuels would not do well. I think right now what everyone's focused on Mexico is this kind of pivot towards more authoritarianism. Of the three presidents, I think this is the biggest difference that the Biden administration could make in conjunction with Trudeau, if they choose to do so, is to nudge AMLO away from authoritarians in Latin America and in the world. If they're successful at doing that, they can do some positive for hemispheric security, stability, peace, and trade. But if they allow AMLO to continue doing what he's doing and kind of turn a blind eye, as Anthony was saying, that they just don't like to talk about this or like to ignore it, then what they're doing is they're letting an authoritarian creep into that alliance. And it won't be the three amigos. It may be the two amigos and not too distant future.
And a final question for you, Anthony. After this meeting, is the expectation there'll be more meetings between these three leaders to talk about energy?
Yeah, I think so, John. I think Justin Trudeau is going to hear a lot of pressure from automakers and from leaders in the energy sector and business community to say, come on, we got to talk more. We got to get a deal that's hopefully more favorable to the Canadian economy. So that'll definitely be on the table.
Anthony Fury is a columnist for Post Media in Canada. He's the author of Pulse Attack, the real story behind the secret weapon that can destroy North America. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Anthony's in Toronto, Joseph's in Washington. I'm in rural Connecticut. This is the New World Report, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.